Boker Tov. Benjamin Franklin, one of the founding fathers of the United States of America in the 18th century, politician, visionary, had a motto as well as a book that he called From Rags to Riches. It was a revolutionary idea at the time that it didn't matter where you were from, what your upbringing was, what school you went to, what community you came from, and what social class you were in. That didn't determine your future. You determined your future. And perhaps what I guess they called already then the American dream was the ability to rise from anyone and anywhere and to really make it big. And it didn't matter if that was in politics, in academia, in profession. That was the idea, from rags to riches. One of the most important themes that certainly immigrant groups for until today have always dreamed about. Now, it's a revolutionary idea. It was against everything that the medieval, feudal, hierarchical world believed in. The truth is, I think the first person who shared such a vision was none other than Yaakov Avinu in the brachot to his children. And I just want to focus for a second on the first four brachot of this, we're in the fourth aliyah, the first four brothers. I'm going to tell a very quick story of the brothers. And I think the theme of rags to riches is as clear as day. And perhaps it's something that Yaakov was already telling us when he was giving the brachot and telling you, this could be your future. Let's start from the beginning. The first four brachot, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yudah, they are the four most, I don't know, they are the four sons of Leah, perhaps the primary wife with the amount of children, the oldest sons. Potentially, they are the leaders of the Bnei Yaakov, and perhaps destined to be the leaders of Bnei Yisrael. They all have the potential. They're the oldest. They deserve it. Reuven is the Bechor, right? What is Yaakov? Yaakov begins. What does he say? Reuven Bechoriata, Kulchiv Roshitoni. You are the first in the ancient Near East, in the ancient world. The elder, the firstborn. That's it. He is the be-all and end-all. He is going to take over. He's going to be in charge of everybody. Except Reuven has the opposite story. He goes from riches to rags. And Reuven fails in saving Yosef from his other brothers, a failure in leadership, fails in a Vayishkavet Bilha, has some sort of very sketchy sort of story with one of Yaakov's wives, and Reuven is demoted. Because it doesn't matter when you were born and who you were born and what you were supposed to be. It matters what you do. Shimon and Levi, let's put them together for a second. They get a really strange bracha. They're number two and number three. And they've done some really, really interesting things. That whole Dina Shechem incident. And Yaakov got a little upset with them. And instead of a bracha, he kind of gives them, I'm going to call it a curse al Tanai, a conditional curse. You guys get angry. You guys do bad things. Arur apam. Your anger should be cursed. And if you continue down this path, nothing good will come out of you. And here what's really interesting is that Shimon and Levi go in two separate directions. Very basic Jewish trivia. How many characters in Tanakh after Shimon are from the tribe of Shimon? Who knows of famous Jews from the tribe of Shimon? Sorry?
Two?
Ah, so we've got Zimri. Very good. But of course that didn't go so well, yes? And the truth is that after him, we got almost nothing. There's a Gemara in Sukkah on Chaf Zayin Amabet. Gemara tells us like this. Ein lecha kol shevet v'shevet miYisrael, shelo hamid mimenu shofet. There is no shevet in the Torah that doesn't have a shofet, doesn't have some sort of Jewish leader. Rashi over here struggles, saying, whoa, it's not in my Tanakh. I don't have a picture of all the brothers. And there are a couple of brothers that don't have, including Shimon. And other versions of this Midrash, when it shows up elsewhere, specifically points to Shimon. Nothing! Because even though he was brother number two, he had potential number two, as I suppose all number twos and potentials and rotations have potential for. And nothing came of him. Or nothing certainly came out of his tribe in terms of being a Jewish leader. In contrast, if we go in here, we start off with from riches to rags. Levi and Yehuda are the opposite paradigm. What does Levi do? Levi, again, starts off at the same place as Shimon, except he rises to the occasion. And during Cheder Egel, he rises to the occasion of not worshipping Avodah Zarah, and of helping obliterate the Egel itself. And Levi, as we know, becomes Shevet Levi, becomes the Kohanim, becomes Moshe Aaron. There you go. The same potential as Shimon. He was, in fact, he had maybe a drop less, right? Because he was brother three instead of two. And he makes it into prosperity and fame within the Jewish world forevermore. And Yehuda is the ultimate rags to riches. Yehuda's story in Bereshit is a sad one. He's the one who said, let's sell Yosef. There is no other brother that should be marked off as failure. You will never lead us because you sold Yosef. And then Vayered Yehuda Me'achav. He then takes a turn down, goes away, non-Jewish wife, children, etc. Of all brothers, he's the guy who would seem to be on the course of, you know, failure. And then Yehuda rises to the occasion. He's the one who says, I'll take care of Binyamin. Vayigash Elav Yehuda, only a couple weeks ago. And Yehuda rises amongst the brothers as the protector, as the one who stands up. And Yehuda looks at him and says, Lo Yasur, Shevet Me'Yuda. You will become the king forevermore in the tribe of Israel. So even though perhaps Benjamin Franklin formulated from rags to riches, I think if we just look at even just the beginning of Birkot Yaakov, I think Yaakov had the same idea. And the reason I'm stressing this to all of you is because I've always had this idea that rags to riches applies not only in our profession, not only in our education, not only in our ability to move and to live wherever we want, to marry whoever we want, but also has a very strong effect on us here in Yeshiva. You know, we all come from very different places. One of the most beautiful things we have here at Eretz Tzvi is how different of places, of schools, of countries, of continents we all come from. And it could be you might have thought that certain schools, certain upbringings were stronger than others. And that, of course, would determine their success in Yeshiva. That would determine how well they did in the Bechina. That would determine what shirim they're in. But one of the things that I think we see over and over, year after year, is that it absolutely doesn't matter. There are people from the same high schools, in different shirim, having totally different success or struggles while they're in yeshiva. Because when push comes to shove, Torah is the great equalizer. When you sit in a Beit Midrash with a Gemara, doesn't matter where you're from, how many years you've done it before. As far as I'm concerned, this year was the first time you ever opened a Gemara. You have the same abilities as everyone else. You put in the work, you let Torah seep in, and then you become one with the Torah. And Gemara, and everything that we do here in Yeshiva, everyone has equal opportunity. It's only a question of, will you take advantage of it? Do you excel in it? Do you invest the time and the energy? Or do you not? From rags to riches, riches to rags, it's entirely up to you. Have a good day.